Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
There has been a huge heel turn on NXT, and if you haven't guessed already, it's a heel blooming Shirai. Shirai. I'm El Fakador Laurie Blake. This is housemate Simon Longdon. Monitoring the super chats is Randy Andy Datsun, and this is the post NXT Wrestle Ramble review. And yes, Io Shirai, sweetness and light, genius of the sky, sunbeam herself, turned heel on Candice LeRae.
God damn her.
She was one of us.
Yeah. So this all came about. This was the finale of this week's NXT. The main event was a steel cage match, the first ever time the NXT Women's Championship has been defended in a steel cage, mm-hmm. between Shayna Baszler and Io Shirai. And my lord, this was a cracking match.
It was really good. It was in a recent spate of WWE moments where we've had quite a few cage matches. Mm-hmm. This was how to do it properly. Yes. Doors are still a problem.
Yeah, the doors. We've got to take those off.
They're either a gimmick,
yeah,
or they're not. But doors are still a problem. But yeah, it was a great match.
Well, this made good use of the door.
This did make good use of the door.
At a point we'll get to later. So this started off really interestingly. I think this was a really well paced match between the two of them. Mm-hmm. Played to both their strengths brilliantly. The beginning is Baszler comes out. She's wearing MMA gloves. Mauro Ranallo is putting over the fact that, like, he used to comment on all of Baszler's MMA matches. And he's like, she's no stranger to being in the cage. Io Shirai is actually almost more limited by being in the cage. Because she can't do any of her springboardy stuff. So they really put over the idea that this was Baszler's playground. And if Io wanted to win the championship, she had to try extra, extra hard. Baszler starts the whole thing off with strikes and takedowns and then just starts flinging Io into the cage walls over and over again for a good, I'm going to say 5 minutes of the match before.
Yeah.
And then so the flip comes as Baszler sort of posts herself into the cage after charging at Io. And then Io fires up. And this is the same sort of reckless self-endangerment Io Shirai that we've seen recently with the kendo stick. And just vicious, ruthless Io Shirai.
I mean, those drop kicks were horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
They were really, really good.
Yeah. It was all of this stuff. And then Baszler gets back on top. But it just became this sort of, there was a point where she punches Io in the heart.
Yeah.
I thought, of a match where there was these amazing high spots, there's all this brutality. That was probably the most brutal thing in the match. Baszler just goes, boom.
Yeah, just and rabbit punch
dull,
in the heart.
Dull thud, is it? Oh, that was horrible.
She has quite a few, with those big heavy gloves, she had quite a few just wild swinging punches that actually sounded really painful and really big and got quite a big pop from the crowd just because it was like getting hit with a bat.
Yeah.
She just swung over, doosh, like that. Really good.
I absolutely love this match. And then, so it built to the kind of the middle crescendo, I would say. There was this point where Io was... She downed Baszler. She was climbing up the turnbuckle, up the cage. Baszler jumps up, drags her down, and then she's standing on top of the turnbuckle. Io Shirai nips up, second rope, huge German suplex. Baszler's down. Io starts crawling. She's going for the cage door. The referee opens it because
doors.
That's how the doors work in cage matches nowadays. Duke and Shafir run down.
Yes.
The interference. they close the cage door, locking EO out. And this is where the match...
We say lock. Very much could have just gone like this.
Very much, pushing her out. So they basically, they down the referee on the outside. So Duke and Shafir are now in control of the door. If Io Shirai wants to get out, she has to go through Duke and Shafir, and they aren't letting that happen. Mm-hmm. So she decides she's going to climb over. Candice LeRae runs down, takes down, I think Shafir was the one climbing up, drags her off. Duke gets into the ring to try and help Baszler up. Candice tells this crazy cross-body dive from the top, nailing Duke in the midsection. Then Baszler gets back up and knocks Candice down. So Io goes, moonsault.
Yeah, why not?
One moonsault for you, madame.
But it was great as well, because in the commentary, Mara Rinella had really kind of put over the Genius of the Sky thing. Mm-hmm. So there's like her one moment she got to do her thing. It was like full EO control moment.
Yeah.
Does the big moonsault. And it was really well.
But it's interesting
paced
as well, because this is the Genius of the Sky move that is actually this is the stupidest thing she does in this match. This is what costs her the match, because she could have just climbed down.
Yeah, it always reminds me when the Hardys sort of one of their big breakups happened because Jeff decided to turn around and do that off the cage. Like, this is quite there's always quite an odd moment when you have someone whose whole thing is definitely want to see you jump off the top of that big thing. But then the problem with the cage match is that it never makes sense to jump off the big thing. But they got away with it though.
So I think here there could be a reason why, and I think it plays into the finale. So we'll go through the rest of the match first and then come back to this point. So from there, EO basically starts crawling to the door, and there's this brilliant moment of like everyone's downed, everyone's taken as much punishment as they can take, and it's just Baszler and Io Shirai crawling to the door and dragging each other over each other's bodies, pulling each other back. And it gets to this point where Io's hanging out the ring and Baszler locks in a Kirifuda clutch over the ropes. And Shirai's fading. She grabs the cage door and she starts slamming it into Baszler's head. And then Baszler, unconscious, flops out and out of the ring, winning the match. It is such a good moment of cage match finale. Yeah,
it was also great that by the time Baszler came round, when the ref handed the title, she just says, "What happened?"
Yeah.
So she's still selling it like the whole
time. She plays it perfectly. Yeah. So I think this is one of Baszler's best matches ever. Mm. I think this is one of the best women's matches that NXT's ever put on. It's so good.
It's certainly the best cage match has been for quite some time. Just WWE. It was really, really good. I thought the pace of it was perfect.
Yeah.
Just the length of time they had was kind of perfect as well.
It's about a 20-minute match. Yeah, 25 about 20 minutes.
Yeah. This is the thing with the cage. It's such a limiting concept. You can't... There's not much point in doing it longer than that, you know, because I think what they did really well was the cage itself was a character in the match. They used it as you think those two competitors would try and use it. You know, they didn't... It wasn't this technical wrestling match that happened to happen in a cage. From the start, it was either the vicious Shayna Baszler using the cage to beat the S out of the smaller...
You can't run away.
Or Io using it desperately to make her comeback. Mm-hmm. So it just worked really, really well.
Putting your body on the line. And talking about putting your body on the line, the reason that I think that moonsault is excusable in the overall structure of like, you could have just jumped out of the ring and that is annoying that you could have just climbed down and won the match.
They're cool.
Is because, one, it's very cool. And two, Shayna Baszler had just beaten up Candice LeRae. And so Io sees Baszler do that to Candice, who was her friend, and turns around and does the moonsault. And the moonsault is the bit that allows the match to continue to the point where Baszler wins by accident. So
was she on the same side of the cage that Shafir was still outside? So could it be that she was, maybe we just didn't see her, but was it that she still saw her on the outside, didn't think she could climb down?
Potentially.
And so had to moonsault back. That was like, her choice was...
Maybe. I think more likely she was trying to help her friend and then that cost her the match. And then that's why when the match finishes and the horsewomen take Baszler off backstage to tell her what happened, I guess, Io stood in the ring with Candice. Candice goes to comfort her and Io starts beating down Candice LeRae. And this is not just like... And I think this is so well played, this moment, because Io starts off and she sort of flings her off and hits her and knocks her down. And then she has this moment of like, oh my God, I can't believe.
Yeah.
Like it's this sort of she plays the her acting in this bit was brilliant because it was both a mix of pure frustration of like, I had to do that. Like, you know, like, I'm really frustrated, so I was venting, but also I'm shocked I did that.
Yeah.
And she does that all the way through, and then sort of like, she looks at her and steps back and then puts her hands up and walks out the cage. And she gets out the cage and she decides, oh, do you know what? Wait a minute. I'm going to have another crack at this. Because the heel turn story has been like, she doesn't need anyone else. She needs, like, every time anyone's been involved in the scenario, she can't win the championship.
And the way she kept saying, I don't need friends. Yep. I don't need friends was...
Yeah.
Because even just the way her sort of facial expression totally changed, it was she straight away flicked the switch and just had a whole different demeanor.
Yeah.
The whole character wasn't just a heel turn in the actions. Her character seemed to like visibly change.
Yeah, she has an amazing heel face. Like she's the sort of sick smile that she got. Like so she does a suplex neck breakery brainbuster type thing onto the chair.
Mm.
It's more than a suplex because Candice hit so high, I think, but it's just, it looked awful and made me get out of my seat to be like, oh no.
Yeah.
And the crowd, because it's Candice LeRae, who is like NXT's sweetheart, really. Like she's Mrs. Wrestling.
Yeah.
It's a perfect choice to do a heel turn with her because in the same way that when Ciampa turns on Johnny, you get that you've turned on the favorite.
Yes.
Of this crowd. Like the person who's always like number one in their heart. Even if Candice LeRae hasn't been used massively on television, she's really over in Full Sail.
Yeah, I suppose she does seem to be almost exclusively used as
fodder for other people's
stories.
For other people's stories.
I wonder whether this is kind of finally, this seems like finally the, I guess, the culmination of the stories that need to be tied up to let her actually have a real feud.
Yes.
Because clearly, Shayna must be on her way up now.
Yeah. I think part of the process here is that maybe Io and Candice begin to feud.
Does this become a triple threat situation?
And it becomes a triple threat situation, or Io wins the title and Candice comes after it in a sort of revenge scenario. Yeah. I think that there's something there now to sort of elevate those two to be the top two women in the division. And then you bring Mia Yim and Bianca Belair in as and when that kind of works.
Yeah.
But I think it's just... I just thought it was a fantastic heel turn and it worked. The crowd was so into it and they were booing and it was raucous and it was like, considering some of the flat heel turns you get in WWE, this was perfectly pitched.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone was really into Reckless Io, Vicious Ruthless Io. People love that. People were like into her.
When she's stomping Duke
and Shafir, that's fine.
Does
the moonsault with the chair. That's fine. That's really cool. But you don't touch Candice.
Yeah.
Nobody puts Candice in the corner.
I do think this is where...
Nobody puts baby in the Candice? I don't know.
But this is where I think the crowd in NXT has actually... Because I think if that... When you try and do those turns on any kind of turn like that on the main roster, it often gets lost in the crowd's own objective of that night or of their general sort of
beach ball.
Whereas I think the crowd you get at an NXT event, particularly just the normal recordings, I think they are far more engaged in just going along with the show, and they engage with the heel turns and they engage with who they're supposed to be and who they're not supposed to be. And actually, for the TV audience, then that just makes it much more meaningful.
Yeah.
Really puts over what's happening there. Whereas I think some of that stuff gets lost. I think some of that smaller character work can get lost on the bigger shows. But I think that this worked really, really well. Anyone who was slightly new to NXT who saw that would have really got what was going on very quickly.
It'd be interesting to see what happens when Io returns to NXT in Full Sail as heel Io and see whether that reaction actually sticks. Because I've seen people who were at the tapings talking about Io and stuff like that and saying how they don't necessarily think the crowd reaction matches up, but I'm interested to see what it actually sounds like on TV because I think, like, you don't want it to be that situation where she's getting cheered for being this character. I kind of want her to remain a bit of a despicable heel in that sense because there's a few too many WWE heels who are so over that it's impossible to boo them. Like Adam Cole is a prime example of like the whole Undisputed Era are prime examples of the kind of heels in NXT where they've accidentally had a face turn just because, through sheer popularity.
Yeah.
And Kevin Owens is another one. It's like, it's almost impossible, to boo Kevin Owens, whatever he's doing, because he's so engaging.
And he's funny as well. I think. Yeah. I wonder. I wonder what he is.
And if Io's if Io's a cool heel, like with kendo sticks and all that stuff, it's going to be very difficult for like to remind yourself to be like, oh no, she's the bad guy.
Yeah, I wonder. I do wonder whether they're going to just start having a couple matches now, where whether they're going to straight away put them into a program with each other, in the kind of mix of the title, or whether now they're going to sort of go off and just have a couple of very vicious moments that aren't matches. Mm. You know, whether, you know, if Candice is having a match, is she just going to come out for no reason and just
derail it?
I don't know. It's been interesting. This could go in so many ways, and all of them are interesting and good.
Yeah, I'm just further down the hardlineness of being like, I don't need friends. I don't need colleagues. I don't need anyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be great. I wonder. Yeah, I just can't wait to watch it sort of play out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, that was the finale match of a jam-packed NXT. We're going to get into the rest of the show in just a moment. But first, we're going to head over to Randy Andy Datsun, who's got some super chats, hopefully.
Yes, I do. But first of all, can I just say thank you to Danger One, who sent me this keyring here. You can see that. It's a lovely Stone Cold Steve Austin tribute there. In fact, I'm more over than Stone Cold Steve Austin, so it's a bit of an insult. But thank you anyway.
Absolutely nice.
And can everyone please stop super chatting to say that Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff have become the executive directors of Raw and SmackDown? We know that now. And it will be up on WrestleTalk.com very, very soon. So go and look at it there. Yeah, about 4 or 5 people have told us that through Super Chat. So just save your money. If you want to do a Super Chat, ask a question.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Tim Arndt says, there are a few times in the cage match where I was screaming, get out at the screen, particularly when Io was on top of the cage and decided to jump onto Shayna instead of down to the floor.
Definitely. I think, yeah, there was... I like I said just now, I think it's justified. I think you can make a case for it. I hope they go far enough to explain it. It always seems the jumping back into the cage to do an extra move always seems a bit stupid to me. But
yeah, I think what they tried to do perhaps, and this just didn't quite. But I do think it was the fact that Shafir was on the outside on that side. I'm pretty sure she was facing the side of the cage, went up the ramp.
Yeah.
So maybe she was supposed to kind of go, oh, I can't. She should have probably tried to climb down.
And then climb back
up, dived off.
But it's a bit slow. And I think the other... I can definitely see that being part of the case, because there was a bit of... the jankiest bit of this episode was the cage match in terms of just production. They missed a bunch of stuff, like the cameras weren't really in the right places. I think Full Sail's a bit small is probably the answer. Like, they're finding it quite difficult to film a cage match because of just where can you place the people that need to film
it. The cage itself was even sort of a slightly odd design. It had really big gaps on the corners. It's obviously like a compact version in some way. It must be difficult to actually get all that stuff in.
But thank you to everyone who is super chatting those things. We do still appreciate it very much.
Oh, no, we absolutely appreciate super chats. It's just, we know!
Tim Arndt says, not NXT related, but did you see the reason that Vince is pushing Baron Corbin is because he thinks that he's popular among the female fans because Baron Corbin's such a hunk.
Because of his good looks.
Oh, hunky.
Yeah, everyone
but not in his belly. Not in his belly reason.
I was going to say that's a big, sad-faced belly. Oh.
People like a squishy dude.
Yeah, but this is weird, belly. Is it? Because it's really hard. We've all said for so long, Vince's penchant for a certain kind of wrestler. Mm. And so apparently he's more discerning... taste than we thought. He doesn't mind a biker dude.
He just loves a dude in a suit. Is all he loves.
Maybe
that's it.
He loves the snooker player chic biker dude.
He's got the hots for a zoot suit.
Oh, people are worried about you, Simon, because you're wearing a ref shirt. So they're worried if Laurie touches you, you'll just fall over and stay down for about 20 minutes.
Oh yeah, that is true.
Mm. Surprise! We're introducing our own 24/7 championship.
Yeah. Jobber JJ says, "Happy CM Punk pipe bomb anniversary."
Hey.
Evolve on NXT. On the web, I guess.
Oh,
on the network.
Evolve on the network. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As Kenny Omega pointed out.
Yes.
They're doing it. A show they weren't going to put on, they are now suddenly putting on at the same time as quite a big charity fundraiser that is related to AEW.
I cover it in my news today, so check it out.
I just retweeted the thing that Kenny makes it. I was just like, even if it's a coincidence, WWE have done so many questionable things that they've at least earned the suspicion that they did it on purpose.
Well, absolutely.
Even if they, you know, and I don't even necessarily think they did. I think it's an accident. I don't think they really thought about it. But the fact that people are so willing to be suspicious of it, that shows you how far down the rabbit hole they are.
Jobber JJ again says, Greece still hasn't recovered yet, I see. Is that about right, Rikos?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they were naming him Gyros, which is just a Greek food.
Yeah.
But.
Well, his name was Kleftico.
Yeah.
Now entering the ring, Lamb Kofta.
Yeah. He
Satsiki.
His Met Gala rig was a bit off.
Yeah.
He did look stupid.
We'll go into that in more
detail
as we
but if you don't know what we're talking about, then there's a piece on WrestleTalk.com about how stupid he looked. Matthew Robinson says, doors in steel cage matches are terrible. I would generally agree, but I thought this one was used quite
well. Yeah, I agree with that. This one was used well, but that is about as well as it's been used. Because if it's going to be... I feel like there always used to be a padlock gimmick. Mm. Yeah. So the heels on the outside.
Well, you'd have to ask the ref. Say, yeah. Ref, can you open
you'd have
the
to ask the ref, and then the heels would come down, donk the ref, and then they controlled the lock, and then it became a battle for.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing.
Well, I thought it used to be that you were just locked in. You used to go through the door, they used to tie it up, padlock it, and then you had to climb out. That was the rule, you had to climb out. So when the door got broken.
That's when the whole thing of it had to be your 2 feet touching the ground came in. Because that's why... Then it was like, oh, it's kind of a weird... This is like a weird way this is happening. This is unexpected. Yeah. But now it's just a really nervous ref just sort of going...
It would dilute it a bit. It was like, 400 feet of steel. Only one man can escape or walk out the door.
Yeah. Or pin them or submit them. Or...
But there is rope breaks.
Yeah.
My idea was to... If they're going to have... I would personally just get rid of the door and just have it be a race to get out. Although having seen this last night, I kind of understand now if there was a there is a good use for the door. But I think if it's going to be a gimmick, make it a crazy gimmick.
Yeah.
Have some sort of mechanism whereby the wrestlers in the ring are somehow controlling how the door is opened.
Like a Kimmy Schmidt crank.
Yeah, well, I don't know what it is. Like, where there's like a big button that like counts down, and then so everyone, like, I don't know, if you're going to do a crazy gimmick, do a crazy gimmick, have fun with it.
Well, if it was like a weight detection thing, but it's on the other side of the ring. So you got to down your opponent and put them on the a weighted, like...
like an escape room.
Like a bagging area, like from human fall flat. Self-checkout. Yeah. You put them on that and it weighs it down, and that's when the door opens. Yeah. But you've got to make it across.
And then if they roll off, the door's
gonna... Yeah, the door shuts.
Yeah.
Like Indiana Jones.
Or just get rid of doors.
Yeah, or just bin the doors.
Robert Aquatic says, just broken this morning, Heyman to run Raw, Bischoff to run SmackDown, 29 is crazy. Yes. We are aware, but he was the first person to say it, so thank you to Robert. Everyone else after that, stop it.
Not surprised at Heyman, quite surprised at Bischoff. I guess Pritchard came back, didn't he?
Yeah.
So I guess Vince has kind of decided to make changes by going back in time, not as far as he normally goes back in time.
Mm. Yeah.
Although I'm happy to watch Heyman.
That's progressive of a sort.
I want to see a Heyman Raw. I'm up for it.
Yeah.
Let's do a couple more for now. Matthew Robinson says, why doesn't Keith Lee get pushed like Riddle?
Oh, he's so good. I love Keith Lee.
I think he's there can only be one Riddle type character at once, and I think once Riddle's kind of achieved what he's going to achieve in NXT, Keith Lee's time will come.
But I wonder whether that's going to get accelerated now with the stuff about his push getting on pause a little bit because of the Goldberg stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like when just from the way NXT normally builds characters, Keith Lee is definitely in that in 5-6 months time, he'll be in that position. He's clearly in that position of being the next mid-card jump.
Yeah, he's in a holding pattern, but there's a good holding pattern to be in because he keeps winning at the moment and he's having, like, he's very over. So I think NXT is very responsive to the crowd, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So it's only a matter of time before he gets his moment.
He's the popular guy getting the Larkin squash, the sort of slightly competitive squashes every week. Yeah. So that's clearly, he's definitely poised.
And finally, for now, Ryan B. Bad says, with all these new name changes, I can't wait for someone like Robbie E. to come out as John Jacob Jingleheiner Schmidt.
His name is my name too.
Whenever we go out, the people always shout.
There goes Robbie E.
John Jacob Jingleheiner Schmidt.
Na, 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 na.
Well, I find it quite funny that they do the name changes, but then they've got in the Forgotten Sons, someone called Steve Cutler. It's like, is he like a PGA Tour player? Like, what? That's such a normal name. Some of them have changed to really normal names. Yeah. I don't really understand it.
We shall get on to the rest of your super chat later on.
This week's NXT opened with the very first match of,
as it always does,
the... Railed it. The breakout tournament for guys that we've signed and changed their names. So it was Joaquin Wilde, formerly DJZ, versus Angel Garza, formerly Garza Jr., in what was a brilliant little match.
Yeah, that was great. Really enjoyed it.
I think, I think both guys are fantastic. We saw DJZ really recently at the Progress show at Alexandra Palace.
Oh, yeah.
And he did this crazy, basically people just... trampolined him off the ropes really high in the air to do a huge splash. It was incredible. However, I think the real star in this match was Garza.
And his
trousers. He did an Okada trouser change, but without the years of build.
Yeah.
But it was... Yeah, so he did a bit of quick change magic. And his whole demeanor and character and the cockiness that he put over... I just thought it was fantastic. He's basically doing what Andrade did when Andrade came into NXT. That same sort of like cocky luchador kind of.
But he's just
vibe.
Way more smarmy.
But he has got like this incredibly expressive, beautiful face.
Yeah.
and like all this sort of. He's like a Pixar character of a Mexican wrestler to me. That's kind of what it.
What did he say? What was his little bit? He said he's like the face of an angel and the or whatever. He has this little sort of phrase.
He's got a rocking bod.
Yeah.
Well, there's some ladies in the comments getting very excited about his bottom.
He kind of had this is genuinely not meant to be an insult, but it was sort of like it was somewhere between Andrade Del Rio and Matt Stryker. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Matt Striker, like he just looks like a bit of a Mexican Max Striker,
mm-hmm.
but just the sort of I'm really good looking and that's why I'm good at wrestling thing.
Yeah,
but mixed with the sort. But he's actually genuinely an amazing athlete. And mm-hmm. but I like the fact he can. I like the way he placed his stuff.
No. Oh no,
I like the way he placed his stuff in reference to DJZ.
Yes,
rather than I think it's difficult in the NXT for some of the guys who go to NXT to try and be a heel because everyone does such exciting moves now.
Yeah,
it is hard to be a heel. So I think he seems like he just gets it straight away about where his character is and what it is. And
but it wasn't that sort of thing of where like I think a lot of the brilliance of this tournament I think is that a lot of debuts on NXT are very much based around one person going over the other person. And that other person will be a complete unknown in terms of like you just know that they're the jobber,
mm-hmm.
And then that means when heels are there, they tend to do like very basic heel stuff, but they also tend to be the ones just giving a beatdown. Whereas here, all of Garza's stuff was like you said in reference to what DJZ was doing. It was all responsive, like dodging of amazing moves, taking amazing moves, but getting up and doing something brilliant with it. And his flamboyance, I think, just really sold me on his character because I've seen DJZ before or Joaquin Wilde, and like, I've not really seen much of Garza. So like, it's
I like the
and he did the Garza strip.
Oh, is that what you're? Is that what you're calling it?
That's what I'm calling it, the Garza strip.
Wow, it's wildly inappropriate. I like the fact that there was twice where DJZ just went for sort of Hurricane Rana's stuff, and just twice Garza just sort of just planted him straight back down. So it's like you got the best of he's very athletic and he's snide and they seemed like they had really good chemistry.
Oh, which it makes me really excited for the rest of this tournament as well, this match, because these two guys, like you said, had amazing chemistry. They both came in with just moves that you don't see very often in NXT, like Wilde hits a tope from the apron through the ropes to the other corner, which is just incredible. He does this amazing springboard.
He puts
arm
his legs
drag
sort of crisscross.
Yeah,
and then,
he does like this mental thing. Garza's finisher is like a butterfly stunner, but it's basically like a sit out powerbomb DDT.
Yeah,
it was just all stuff that was like, this is really cool and inventive and fun.
DJZ's jawbreaker is wicked.
That was the one. Yeah.
The push up off a chest, and then that was just
drops
very, very cool.
Feet, yeah. But I just think it's basically what we're getting and what we're going to get for the next few weeks is a mini cruiserweight classic that just plays out in NXT with obviously Jonah Rock thrown in there to throw off the cruiserweightness. But it's really exciting times in NXT because these are all like massive talents that they've brought in who we haven't seen yet, and if the other debut matches are like this, it's just going to be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one of the best tournaments that NXT's ever put on, I think. So that was that, and then next we had a Kushida promo where he was saying that he's in an interesting position because he could have opponents from NXT, Raw, SmackDown, and 205 Live. He's really excited that everyone is here.
Was that a reference to the Wild Card
wrestlers in the world? I don't think so. I think that was just the reference to people will turn up for Kushida, I think. Yeah. Drew Gulak keeps coming back because he's got a taste of Kushida.
Kushida's wicked. Just a big fan.
Yeah. It was a great little promo. Puts over another excellent acquisition for NXT, who's proven himself already to have amazing matches. And I can't wait to see, as long as they don't do a 5-week who's going to knock on my door promo.
Yeah, it was funny how this was nearly that, but they got away with it.
Hopefully someone just turns up next in the next couple of weeks who's really good.
Yeah,
and they have a really great match. We then got a backstage interview after Damian Priest after he had his match with Raul Mendoza. Not much to say here. He just said that he's unlike the rest of the stars in NXT. He's going to live forever. But boy, howdy, what a voice!
He's
got a rich, creamy voice.
He really does.
Creamy.
Mm. I just wish he was still called Punishment Martinez. It's just a better name.
It's a better name. Damian Priest is very Las Vegas
magician. It's very WWE ECW.
Mm.
It's very mid-2000s sort of vibe, I think.
Yeah.
Like if this was 6 years ago, he would be a vampire. I think.
You think?
Yeah. 100%.
A Twilight one or Edge and Christian. The brood.
Twilight.
Little Twilight vampire.
No brood.
We then got a fantastic little match between the Street Profits and the Forgotten Sons, which started with the Street Profits coming out and having a party. And this is the first time that we've seen the Street Profits
with the titles.
With the titles in full sail. They've been outside and jockeyed with the crowd, but this is their first match back as champions. Thank you, Andy Datson. Shut up, Randy. People go really nuts for the Street Profits.
They're great.
NXT, and Montez Ford is having a whale of a time at the beginning of this match. Just dancing with everyone in the crowd. I loved it.
Yeah, I think it was great. I think, I said to you earlier today, I just think I wasn't particularly impressed by Dawkins when he first came in, when they first started. But I think he has improved.
There's a greatness.
Yeah. He has improved so much. Mm-hmm. And now he's... I like how they use him in the promos. I think he's much better at them, but they've also found a kind of a much smarter place for him within bouncing off. But also just his ring works is way better. His hot tags are way better now. He's getting much bigger pops when he comes in. He's just, I think he's really impressive.
He's
now.
Come
I think
off
he's very good.
Leaps and bounds. Mm. So the Prophets, Forgotten Sons come out after the Prophets. They get in the ring. Prophets start cutting a promo on them saying basically, you say that you could win the titles any day. We're going to put them on the line right now, which causes most of the NXT universe to just go, no.
Yeah,
no,
I thought that was great.
Not those guys, please.
I thought it was so funny when they did that. I was like, oh, that's actually like, that's a great reaction from a crowd. It's no, don't do that. That's
no,
silly.
No, we don't want them to have them. And I just thought this was a really good bit of promo work from the Prophets working together and like Dawkins just playing up to everything that Montez Ford is saying. It was so fun. The match itself was over quicker than you would imagine because it was an angle, basically. So the Forgotten Sons start things off pretty strongly. Prophets make a rapid comeback and just nail them with a huge frog splash. And as Montez Ford leaps 10 foot in the air, hits the frog splash.
God, that splash. I mean, he doesn't... I know his thing is going high on that splash, but that is... That's the highest I've seen him do. That was insane how much.
He's tag team champion high now.
That is.
You've got to elevate.
It was unreal.
But just as he lands it and he's about to get the pin, Jackson Ryker drags him off and starts beating him down. Then the rest of the Forgotten Sons gang up on Dawkins and start beating him down. And then only Lorcan and Danny Burch run out and make the save. So they fight off the Forgotten Sons who, weirdly, Jackson Ryker is the one that pulls them away when it's normally them dragging Jackson Ryker.
Yeah, he grabbed
out
them
of
by
trouble.
The hair, didn't he?
Yeah, so he drags them backstage. And then there's this tense standoff moment between the Prophets and Lorcan and Burch, where Lorcan and Burch are holding the titles. Montez Ford swings for his and Oney just goes like that and carries on looking at it. And Danny Burch is like, oi.
Yeah.
These are yours, but you owe us. I was like, mate. Some lock stock.
Yeah, no, I was watching, I was like, if he owned a pub, I would never go there.
Yeah. The one person you don't want to owe anything to, Danny Burch. Mm. It's terrifying. It's like, is East End, it's the getaway. It's East End gangster stuff. Like, I wouldn't mess with that guy.
Yeah, that was a great promo. I know it's a little thing, but like the dragging by the hair, it's those little things that just kind of make that's what builds character, makes them a bit weirder, a bit more aggressive, a bit more. Whatever. I think obviously everyone was a bit down on the Forgotten Sons just because of Jackson Ryker, I think mainly.
I think biker guy is just a tired trope.
It is tired, but I think they're pulling it off, and the fact that they're all capable. Ryker not so much, but they're all very capable, and particularly Blake, obviously, of having. It is funny. He really was a Forgotten Son, like. Like I was not surprised when they've been in that when they're in that big tag match at TakeOver. Like, of course they're great. He was literally in, one of the two or three breakout tag teams. Like, so of course he's good at tag matches.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I think they're doing well to kind of.
It was the curse of Alexa Bliss though for them, really, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think they've done well to kind of carve their own version of the biker gang thing.
Yeah, I think I think like you said, the hair pulling and stuff is really interesting because I've noticed a lot of their tag team offense involves hurting the other Forgotten Son at the same time. Yeah. A lot of it involves I'm doing a move to you, but it hurts them and you. So it is an interesting dynamic to sort of have. Mm. I do actually like them. I want to see more of the Forgotten Sons. Yeah. I think I was very skeptical to begin with and very down on them, but actually they have won me over. So I think they have the rest of the NXT audience, because I think even their introduction here, while, yeah, everyone was like, no, when they came out, people were booing, but it didn't feel as sort of apathetic, go away booing.
Yeah, it wasn't like X-Pac-y.
We're playing along with what's going on here booing. Yeah. So after that, we got a creepy film reel promo thing for Killian Dane, who is coming back to NXT. I couldn't quite make out what the footage was of.
Just his face.
Well, there was his face, but then there was also like footage of streets and stuff. I don't know whether they were doing like a Belfast thing or
maybe. I wonder. So he's obviously going to come back with a repackage of some description. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure what direction they're going to go with that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to keep him in the pseudo sanity gimmick like Nikki Cross still is, sort of an unofficial sanity.
Yeah,
sort of
still member. Has the music.
Yeah, I don't know what Eric Young's doing. Or is he on 205 now, Eric Young?
He's 24/7.
He's just a 24/7 goon.
Every week I feel like, who the hell's that guy? And where he's shaved?
Oh yeah, yeah, shaved, didn't he? He's that's a shame. Again, Eric Young.
Mm-hmm.
Love that guy.
Yeah, so it'd be exciting to see what happens with Killian Dane when he comes back. He'll get a big pop as well. I think,
so this is
returns.
What I was referring to earlier. Because so this is happening. Well, I think this was going to happen anyway, but this has been accelerated because of Matt Riddle.
Mm.
So this is the thing, isn't it? That this is the little switcheroo they're doing to punish Matt Riddle a little bit. They're sort of going to stick Killian Dane ahead of him in the pack.
Oh, I don't know. I don't really know. I've not been.
Where did I read that?
Keeping up with that.
I read that somewhere.
Maybe, but there's been other reports.
I made it up.
There's been other reports with the Matt Riddle stuff that they were pushing him to do to go after Goldberg because they were enjoying the sort of. The press and publicity.
Yeah, I think he's now been sort of told you can't keep having a go at our Hall of Famers for being terrible in the ring and dangerous.
Wow, you can. So after the Killian Dane promo, we got a little selfie cam promo thing from Aaliyah and Vanessa Bourne, who were slagging off Mia Yim,
mm-hmm.
basically saying, oh, she's boring, she's ugly, she's dumb. Wear your bandana because you're so ugly.
Mm.
You're from the streets because you're a lower and we're a higher. I didn't like this at all. And I have zero excitement to see Aaliyah versus Mia Yim. I like Mia Yim. Aaliyah and Vanessa Bourne, when they first came together, I thought there was potential there. And I think they've very quickly fallen into lazy female heel stuff. And it's dull.
It's that talking. You know, we talk about something like the Forgotten Sons being a well-trodden, path. This feels also a very well-trodden path. I mean, this is basically
this is what Lacey Evans is doing, but in a southern accent. This is
This
is what Charlotte Flair is doing well, but to a degree.
I guess. Yeah, it's Mandy Rose did this for a while.
Mandy Rose has been doing this. Yeah, the you're ugly and I'm pretty and I'm high class and you're classless.
Yeah.
You know, they were just throwing every Mean Girls-ish statement out there.
Yeah. Whilst also with their kit.
Apart from None for Gretchen Wiener.
Yeah. But their gear is also the sort of the black leather and gold. Like, it's very much, it doesn't seem like the most thought through gimmick, but.
But it's what Ginny's doing in NXT UK, and she's much better. Like, you know, she's doing the sort of couture character, but she does it really well.
But that's because that's playing off something much more real.
Yeah,
to her, and something that really that exists that the audience understands exists in the world that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very UK referential version of that gimmick.
Yeah,
and what they're doing over there, like that, like when they use the word privilege, I don't think privilege has the same ring to it to an American audience than it does to a UK audience. I think that's kind of a misplaced phrase there. It doesn't quite. That isn't really what they were talking. I don't know. It was a bit, not the greatest thing that NXT have got going in the minute. But you know, who knows?
Maybe
time and some screen time, they might develop it. That's the whole point of NXT. Might just develop it into their own thing, which would be
they might do. But they have been there a long time, so they've had a bunch of time to work on it. Our next match was cracking. It was Keith Lee versus the latest. In a long line of Greek warriors, we had Hercules, we had the Spartans, and now we've got Mikos Rikos.
Mm. Spartans weren't Greek.
They were from Sparta.
which is in part of Greece.
No. It was the nation that Greece were
Whatever. The Athenians.
There you go.
They did a prominent city in ancient Greece.
All right.
In ancient Greece.
Apologise. I'll wait.
You'll be waiting a long time.
So, Mikos Rikos, what's going on with this lad's gear?
Yeah.
He looked like Tidus from Final Fantasy X with the shorts and trousers split thing.
There's definitely been... doesn't Travis Banks have that? Didn't he used to have that? The sort of one trousered leg, one...
I don't know. It's a bad look, is what it is.
But to have it connected to the upper in the opposites, but also quite an ill-fitting PVC. Yeah.
He looked like Gimp's gone wrong.
I said to Andy Jackson earlier, he looked like he had just put on the offcuts of PCO's gear.
Yeah.
This was a strange look, but I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, I actually really liked it. It was a very weird look. It was a random, like, bad name, bad look, random character.
But then however,
in comedic contrast to Keith Lee, actually produced a really fun little squash match.
If the whole point is that is a comedic character, I was thinking this is kind of like an NXT version of Santino.
Yes. Yeah.
Then I was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, he's just in this weird, embarrassing stuff.
Puts his hand in and a little pit of bread.
But he was just—I just thought the way his facials were great. He managed to be sort of, it felt like a modern NXT version of Santino, where he was clearly a good wrestler,
mm-hmm.
had offense, but it was comedic and it was awkward. I thought it was actually really entertaining.
It played lovely off Keith Lee here because the match was over within 40 seconds. Keith Lee comes out and he gets the bask in his glory
now,
chance.
Is Keith Lee just doing Bobby Roode?
I don't think so.
Because he's doing the sort of way he puts his hands up and stuff like it's and the face sort of.
I think Keith Lee's better than Bobby Roode.
He's always done that as well.
And he has always done that. I think it's just
parallel.
The glory sort of link seems relevant. I think Bobby Roode was sort of basking in the adulation, and I think Keith Lee is letting people bask in his glory. I don't know.
Maybe that's too subtle for a wrestling gimmick.
Maybe that's overthinking it. But I just think people just like Keith Lee, and I think it's just it's basking his glory, basking my glory is just a really fun phrase. The song is fun. People are into it. So Keith Lee starts doing the conducting the crowds, and that's when Mikos Rikos tries to do. He tries to stop him and pull his arms down, but he's too weak and he can't.
If Keith Lee had blocked my clothesline like he did to Mikos, whatever he's called, that would have smashed my arm into a million tiny pieces.
Bye.
And that tackle was wicked.
Pounce, yeah.
Nearly killed him.
I thought this was really good. And then so Keith Lee, at the end of the match, just before he hits the limit breaker, another Final Fantasy reference, peeps, he says, this is my NXT. And then hits his finisher, pins him and wins.
I love his finisher.
So I wonder if this is the beginning of like Keith Lee sort of coming into a parallel orbit with the guys who are currently in the breakout tournament to be like, you know, I'm now the gatekeeper here because I've been here for ages and I'm waiting on my opportunity. And there's potential there as well with someone's going to win that tournament. And the prize is you get a title shot of your choosing. So he's going to be like, well, I was never offered this opportunity when I walked in the door.
Mm.
I think there's interesting stuff they could do with Keith Lee. And I think they've sort of lucked out here that we've come across a really good time in NXT to start doing something with him. And they're fortunate that he's been in a holding pattern and managed to maintain his popularity despite not really having anything to do.
And
for a while, just being the foil to Matt Riddle.
It's also cool, I guess, along with Dykstra. Having legit big guys in NXT,
mm-hmm.
and just seeing how that goes, because there hasn't been many, and now we've got those two. I guess Priest as well. He's pretty. What's he like? 6'6".
He's gigantic.
He's massive, isn't he? So yeah, it's quite cool just seeing big guys, proper big guys.
Yeah, I mean, legit big guy matches. I cannot wait for the Dijakovic Keith Lee comeback.
Dijak.
I can't wait for the Dijak match.
Yeah.
I do this every week. I can't say Dijakovic. I can't remember which one it is every week. That would be really fun. Next, we had the Bay Bay Championship Tour celebration, which was a little on the road diary of Adam Cole as NXT champion. He was waiting outside a private jet saying, "I'm about to fly to Download Festival to defend the championship because I'm defending it around the world." Something that Johnny Gargano knows nothing about because Johnny Gargano keeps losing his defenses of titles.
Mm-hmm.
We then see him fly off to Download Festival to spend a week in the mud or whatever it is. He meets Slipknot and he has a match against an NXT championship match against Dave Mastiff, I think, who was in the clip, which is a bit of a weird combination of people. He then comes back, calls Roddy on the phone, asks him if he's put in that order. He then pulls up at Gargano's Pizza and the promo ends.
I wonder where they found that Gargano's Pizza. They must just be Googling stuff as they go. Oh, wow, there is one.
Well, it was a fun little way to put over Adam Cole as the champion on a week where he can't really appear on the program, and plays well into his character of, like, you know, he's kind of flash, but he can back it up.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to see how they spin this out into what you're assuming is Cole versus Gargano 3, now that they've gone to Gargano's Pizza and he's mentioning Gargano at the top of the promo. You know, they're going to do the third match because you have to now. Those first two matches were amazing. So it would be really interesting to see how this kind of forms into a feud, considering it's not actually them meeting in real life. Yeah. I want to see what happens in Gargano's Pizza.
Yeah.
It's weird to be so compelled by such a thing. We also got the announcement that next week, Roderick Strong will take on Tyler Breeze in a first-time-ever match. And the next round of the second match from the breakout tournament will be Isaiah Swerve Scott versus Cameron Grimes, a.k.a. Shane Strickland versus Trevor Lee.
It's quite rare to get the sort of WWE game-style your name, insert middle, just a nickname that isn't really connected to
Isaiah Swerve Scott.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be good.
I think that'd Cameron be fantastic. Grimes. Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see if the tournament continues apace and how that kind of plays out. Because I think when NXT does tournaments, it really does them really, really well.
Yeah, definitely. And they're all insanely talented, experienced wrestlers. Exactly. So.
And what a way to debut them and put them over when, like, you know, we have previously been complaining that they've got all this talent and sometimes they don't know what to do with it. Keith Lee being a perfect example. This is a great idea of something to do with all that talent because you get to feature them week on week. Maybe they only have like one TV match in a couple of months, but it feels like there's progression for people and there's something for them to be doing that isn't just having squash matches.
Yes, but I think NXT has found this way of doing squash matches in a way that are fun and doesn't completely kill the idea of the other person having a run, or, you know, I think they've got into a really good rhythm with those now. And like you said, Keith Lee's a perfect example where he can have these matches and not lose momentum.
No.
He's just consistently having fun matches on TV, regardless of the length of them. That is...
Yeah,
that's all you got to do. Like,
sadly, Mikos Rikos is now Greek flatbread.
I want to see more of him.
I want to see more of him. Well, that was all of NXT because it then had the Io Shirai versus Shayna Baszler cage match and that heel turn, which I can't wait to see more.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
D. Andy Datsun. What is going on? in the chats.
Did you know that Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff have been hired?
Did you hear about Bret Hart at the Hall of Fame?
What? No, what happened?
Don't know.
Yeah, well, people have now people have basically been anti spamming with things that we knew already.
Fair. Like,
which is good. Thank you for all of those, for all your support. But we start our second match of Super Chats with Jobber JJ, as we often do. It says, happy birthday to Andy. Take this money and go buy a beer. It is my birthday on Sunday, but I will probably not be going to buy a beer. And also, I don't think Ollie's just going to give me the money.
Boring. Why aren't you having a beer on your birthday?
I don't like beer. I'm sorry, I don't drink beer. I prefer... Are you going to throw something
drink
at me?
This.
No, that's not going to happen.
It's alcohol-free.
It's alcohol-free.
This is peer pressure. I prefer other beverages. But Ryan B. Bad says... EO went full champa on Candice.
I think there's definitely a parallel to be drawn. The obvious parallel is that she's Johnny Gargano's wife. But I think, like we said earlier, like she occupies that same space in the hearts and minds of the NXT watching crowd. So it was a very smart choice to choose her as the foil to EO's heel turn.
Yeah, and also props for diving off that cage with no knee pads.
Yeah, no, that was nuts. There's nothing to her though, is there? I think she's got hollow bones, so she's
like
sore.
A sparrow.
Yeah, that's why the chair shots just sounded like nothing.
She got really bricked with that chair.
Yeah. She did, but they weren't that thick, meaty slap you normally get of a chair shot. They were just like.
Matthew Robinson says it was a much better cage match than Kofi Ziggler. Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely was. Kofi Ziggler had a couple of good moments and a cool finish.
Yeah,
this had. A better finish and a lot of logic, I think, that ran through it. So it all kind of made sense. And they, weirdly, I think like, the thing we always keep coming back to the door is the gimmick. But like they worked around the door gimmick more than they played with it, if you know what I mean. It wasn't like they had this brilliant idea for a thing to do with the door. They had to sort of work out what to do with the door because, unfortunately, the door is part of the WWE stipulation. So they had to just go, okay, well, what can we do with the door?
Yeah, I thought they worked it really well.
Yeah.
Ryan Tobin says, yes, Heyman and Bischoff.
You heard about Heyman and Bischoff.
Thank you, Ryan. Jonathan Hedman says, once again, NXT is the best WWE product.
This episode specifically was... cracking. It was a really, really good episode of NXT TV.
Yeah, this was really, really good. I guess it's kind of vying for that thing with 205. But I think 205 is probably having... Overall, probably the wrestling is overall better, but they've also just got more experienced guys. Mm-hmm. Like it's, by definition, 205 is not a developmental brand. So I think the fact that NXT is still that, I think people forget that. Mm-hmm. It is still developmental. So there are people on there who are developing, as well as people like... Kushida. So it is quite a weird mix now, NXT. But I think overall, particularly this episode, it's very, very good.
The only weak link in this whole episode for me was that Aaliyah and Vanessa Bourne, and that was 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
So I mean, what you're not going to really complain about.
TRIH Gaming says WWE announced Paul Heyman and Bischoff managers. Arnie.
What?
Arnie K, thank you very much for your very generous donation.
Thank you. And the fact that says, Heyman and Bischoff.
Arnie K is one of our top pledgehammers as well. He is one of our most generous. WrestleTalk number one fan. Yay, Luke's back and you'll never walk alone, Simon.
Oh.
Bit of a football thing there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How does somebody know I like Liverpool?
I think I might have mentioned it a while back when we were talking about Champions League final.
You talk about me behind my back.
Yeah. What are you saying?
He likes
won't drink a beer and he's talking about you behind his back. Danny flash him up.
Trashman DeVito says, what is an executive director and is it good or bad? From what I understand, it will kind of be that they are the head booker of Raw and SmackDown. I imagine Vince will still be above them, as he always is.
Yeah.
But you'd have thought that they will be making the majority of the final
decisions. I would have thought, regardless of an on-screen role, an executive director, in a normal sense, would sit between the ultimate owner and
the
top tier of management. So they are, whoever the highest manager is, these two have been inserted above them.
Yeah. And give it give it 3 weeks and they'll have Bischoff against Roman Reigns. I think that is what it seems to be. John DiPietro says, hello, Andy, Hyman, Simon, El Fakador. What is that trophy-looking thing next to Finn and Kenny? What?
This is the...
You know what that is, John.
The Wrestle League trophy.
Wrestle League Emoji Trophy.
Yes.
That you win for winning Wrestle League. I did. Thank you. First year. We are now currently in the midst of Wrestle League, which is available to our Patreons. So if you want to get involved,
losing.
become a patron and you can join in the Wrestle League where we predict the outcomes of all the pay-per-views. And we've done it from WrestleMania and we're going through to SummerSlam.
At the moment, we are predicting for Fighter Fest, which is this Saturday. So do get on Patreon and do that. You can start now, even if you just want to start now. It doesn't really matter. You probably still catch up with Simon.
You try and beat Simon week on week. Very easy to do. He often forgets to predict.
Tim Arndt says, that Keith Lee match was shorter than Laurie's hair.
I don't know. My hair's getting pretty long.
Yeah, it's as long as it's been for a while.
You see Pete and Luke on the stream yesterday. It was like the Spider-Man meme. Isles E77 says, do you think War Games will be Undisputed Era versus Imperium?
Ooh, that would be fun.
That would be amazing.
That would be awesome. I think my guess for War Games is more that it'll be a clean sweep from Undisputed Era at some point, and it might be a...
You predicted that for the last
time. I know, but I just want it.
They'll get all the belts and then put them all on the line in a War Games match.
I want it an all or nothing War Games match.
Well, I guess they're doing... Well, it'd be weird. It's for a company that is known for repeating themselves, there is a winner-takes-all match coming up at Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
So I guess if that's the kind of vogue booking of the moment, it seems probable.
I think that would be a really fun thing to do because it also frees up the rest of the card to have just cool feuds that aren't about a belt and it's not about who's in line for the next shot or whatever. It's a good time to sort of just, when you've got this big show dominating match like the War Games match is, because it takes up an hour of time, you can just do a bunch of stuff with some of the younger guys having crazy cool matches that aren't four belts. And then you can just stick eight of your top guys in one big finale match at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And you don't have to fly Pete Dunne over.
Yes. Yeah. Arnie K again says, you'll never walk alone to Randy as well, even if he insulted me. And I asked him what that meant, and I'll tell you what it meant later on.
I think it meant that you insulted him.
75 Sky Lot.
Christ. So I just brained his knee on the chair.
75 Sky Lot of Mexican says, Hey guys, Eric Bischoff is back. Yes, he is. Pizza Slice says, would a Survivor Series 5-on-5 elimination gauntlet match be interesting? Fresh reboot of the 10-man tag, like Squad Strike on SSB Ultimate. I don't know what that means.
Well, I think in the Ramble they were talking about, the other Ramble they were talking about Survivor Series. And I think...
Sorry.
Jesus. They were...
Hey, fever.
Shut up, Laurie.
It would be...
Oh, you sharp.
It would be cool to like if they get rid of the if they actually officially get rid of the brand split to have a fresh reboot of the Survivor Series in the sense that it's just a coincidental two coincidental groups of people who find reason to join forces and then have a great big Survivor Series match. That would be a lot of fun. I think I never want to see Seth Rollins in a half Raw, half Rollins t-shirt ever again.
Oh, that was dreadful. Or just the fact that it's now such a foregone conclusion that Raw's going to win Survivor Series.
If everyone comes out wearing like 14 t-shirts and then they just wildcard throughout,
that's the thing, isn't it? It's like you can wildcard. Two, people spend half their time just appearing on the other show anyway, so it doesn't feel like the actual invasion angle of Survivor Series where Team SmackDown invades Raw. That's happening every week now.
Yeah.
So that has lost all impact as well. Survivor Series is might as well be dead.
Mm. Paul Acosta says, Damien Priest versus The Undertaker. The Priest exercises The Undertaker of his demons. God,
turning
I hope
him
not.
Into the American Badass and then they form a band.
I'm all for one last run of the badass. Been for a while.
No, I'm not. Because he can't move anymore.
Can't walk anymore.
Although
if it was half man, half motorbike, I'm into.
There is talk of him versus him doing having a singles run against Drew McIntyre, which if he's going to fight anyone, it might as well be Drew, because Drew can squash him and then Drew can get over.
Well, but it's they're stuck, aren't they? Because they always want to put him against someone big and imposing to kind of legitimise, like, oh, but you have to be that big to like beat The Undertaker.
But he can't pick him up.
He can't pick him up.
There's someone who can sell for him.
Yeah.
Thor, which is a great name.
You're
going
to be looking for vertical leap is what you need to be looking for with The Undertaker. Like, so you can just take a choke slam.
Should be AJ.
You just need to take a choke slam well.
I think him and AJ could have a great match.
Yeah.
Thor Hakon Ludvigsen says, which
great
is
name.
Brilliant name. Yeah. Undisputed Era versus.
Was there an out on it?
No, there wasn't, but I made one. And Shayna Baszler versus Imperium and Tony Storm at War Games would be awesome. Undisputed Era and Shayna NXT champions, Imperium and Tony Storm NXT UK champions. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
I am really into the idea of that as a an inter NXT feud of like, we control this one, we control this one, let's vie for supremacy.
Have a spot where Walter chops Roderick Strong over from one ring into the other ring.
I would genuinely love to see a NXT pay-per-view that includes both brands.
Like, you could do an invasion.
Because obviously,
really
we, yeah, exactly. But obviously, we used to have the NXT UK Championship defended
at
takeovers, and now that they have their own takeovers, that doesn't happen with as startling a regularity. But it would be awesome to do one where it's completely combined.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Jobber JJ says, I'm the best jobber in this world. Getting pinned, being squashed, I'm the best jobber in this world. Future 24/7 champion.
Fair. I'm not going to argue with
that. I'm not going to argue. You can be as jobber as you want to be.
You can. Ross Gould says,
have as many jobs as you want.
Ross Gould. Oh, thanks, Ross Gould. According to Sports Illustrated, Heyman in charge of Raw and Bischoff in charge of SmackDown.
Wow.
Holy.
Swear.
That's incredible.
Well done, Laurie. Pizza Slice says, I don't care if they are old as flip. I'd love to see Y2J versus PCO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
I think legit both guys are great. Like, I don't think they've missed too many steps nowadays. Like,
age is but a number.
Yeah. But I think Jericho's adjusted his style. PCO's...
on the top.
What's a butter number?
Yeah. PCO's... insane enough to just be like, yeah, you can just chuck me out of the ring, it's fine. That that power bomb to the outside at the Ring of Honor NJPW show. Oh.
Yeah. Mm. It's great.
Don't worry, I'll just take it on my back.
Kyle Stefan says, I think Keith Lee versus Killian Dane would be sick.
Definitely, yeah. I think they have a fairly good matchup, I think.
Yeah, I think it'd be really good. I think they would actually the spate of big guys who are also athletic enough to do other stuff.
Here's
I think they would
here's a
really
spot
well.
That would happen that they would both run into the ropes and then run into each other and bump and then stare at each other, stare at each other for a bit and then keep doing it until one of them got flattened. Because that's what always happens in those matches.
Yeah.
But I still enjoy it. Arnie K. Ooh,
just to let you know quickly, by the way, Bischoff is trending.
Oh, is he? Why is that?
I don't know.
Oh, weird.
What? Why is Bischoff trending?
I'll have to check after this what it is. Maybe put it on WrestleTalk.com.
Something about Bischoff.
And actually, Tyler Breeze tweeted saying, oh, wish they would look into the future rather than the past. And we did a little piece about it. And he had a go at us for taking his words.
Taking his words that he put out into the universe.
Yes. Sorry, Tyler.
Breeze.
But Arnie has now explained why... I insulted him. It's because I said I don't like Norwegian people because I'm Swedish.
You Swedish?
I'm half Swedish, yes.
Did you not see he came in a flat pack?
Yeah.
To assemble him.
I made all of the office furniture. Because I, yeah. But he said he's
just...
Did
you make it in your little workshop?
He's not Irish.
I know. I was going for Swedish and it just sort of went Irish at the end. And I was like, no.
I'm from Stockholm. Said,
that do you like the music of ABBA? If you change your mind.
Do you like Bjorn?
But he said that he's joking because I'm great, because I'm part of WrestleTalk. So thank you to Arnie and your continuing support on Patreon.
You.
Michael Dominguez says, Ali, I think he means Ollie. Ollie isn't here. Roll the R's all you want.
No, you've been bad.
I can't.
I can. Yeah. Matthew Robinson says, Vanessa Bourne needs to ditch partner. She could really be a good challenger to Shanna and Mia Yim by herself.
I definitely think Vanessa Bourne is the more talented of the two, but they clearly had no real designs on what to do with either of them, so they just went, tag team.
Yeah, yeah. You guys work it out.
Yeah.
It almost, Raffy Robinson again says, it almost sounds like WWE fans are saying wrestling is boring when they say, I think you've misread it here, bash in my glory.
Bash in my glory.
I said this.
Yeah, it does I look said like this bash in my
when
glory.
I was watching it, just the font doesn't say bask, it says bash. Bash in his glory.
Which is something completely ill, completely different. Bucky the Ace Ventura says, do the NXT titles feel more... That is an interesting way of saying, of spelling prestigious.
Just
than
if you know
Raw
what it is,
SmackDown.
Just read it, Andy Datsun.
SmackDown, is it? Are they more prestigious than SmackDown?
I don't think they're more prestigious, but they are much better booked.
I think you
understand as an audience member that they are the most important things to the wrestlers.
I think consistency across the titles is important. I don't necessarily think the NXT Championship is more prestigious than the WWE Championship. However, the North American title is probably more prestigious than the Intercontinental title. The tag belts probably more prestigious than the tag belts because there is the feeling across the board with all the NXT titles that they managed to make not just the top one feel important. There is a reason everyone wants all the other ones as well.
Yeah, I think it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to say.
Because all the other on the main roster, the other belts are forgotten. They can only do about one belt feud at a time. So.
Yeah, I think it's hard, isn't it? Because I think the Intercontinental United States, particularly the Intercontinental, they still maintain the lineage of those belts. The Universal and WWE don't. The WWE does in a way. Universal definitely doesn't.
Yeah.
So I think prestigious is a difficult way to place the belts because to me the Intercontinental is probably the most prestigious in many ways.
Yeah.
So it's hard to sort of say. But I think in terms of just how are the belts booked on this show, when you watch NXT, you know that the prize, the reason they're all there as wrestlers is to win those titles.
Yeah.
And when they have those titles, they will move the earth to ensure that they maintain them. So that makes you believe that their characters want these stars and that they matter.
But it's also indicative of like you're going to get TV time, which apparently it isn't for the other titles on the main roster. Like where is Finn Balor?
He's wrestling dark matches.
Well, I know. Against Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah.
Tomo says, did you know that Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch are a couple?
Why?
Whoa. Yeah, I know.
Have they done anything on that? Have they like put it on. Have they done anything on Raw with that?
Is it
just secret still?
Yeah. Is this kayfabe though? Is this
maybe?
It's not like real.
Is Seth Rollins going out with Will Ospreay?
I don't know. Are Eric and Bischoff? Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman a couple?
Yes.
That's why they're doing it because they
couple
keep,
of exec directs.
Yeah, it's a they're doing like a Montagues and Capulets thing.
They want to keep them on the same thing. Yeah. Michael Dominguez says, would you like to see Bray's puppets pop up on NXT?
Yes. Very much so.
No, I don't think I would.
Why not?
Because
they could beat Rikos with him.
I think that's fine once you've established what they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think once,
I mean, eventually.
I think it'd be fun, depending on how they're going to use them, it'd be fun. If they are just kind of popping up all the time around the place, it would be cool to have them do that. But I think I want to see Bray first before we start having too much fun with puppets.
Yeah.
Can we see Bray Wyatt first?
Well, I think, there's a degree to which the puppets are now the next placeholder while we still work out what we're actually doing with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
You know, the puppets are now... We've run out of the things that we filmed in this studio. So we're going to do...
afternoon of filming.
We're going to do puppets now. And we'll do that for a couple of weeks. And then maybe Bray will come back when we have a reason to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows?
And two more then for now. Forever. Tammy Lockley says, nothing but thank you very much for your donation.
Thank you very much.
And lastly, Arnie is back in to say, do any of you have Twitter? Yes, we do. You can follow... Laurie at El Fakador. You can follow Simon at Simon Longdon. You can follow me at Andy Datsun at WT, which stands for Wrestle Talk.
If you just go on the Wrestle Talk bio,
yes,
I
you
know
can.
I'm there as well. So all our handles are on there.
But
goodness me.
Pete is at Pete Quinnell. Ollie is at Ollie Davis. And Luke is at This Is Luke Owen.
That is all we have time for on this edition of the NXT Review Wrestle Ramp. I have been El Fakador Laurie Blake. This has been housemate Simon Longdon. Manning the Super Chat was Randy Andy Datsun from WrestleTalk.com. And that was rambling. Diggity, dig, diggity dog.